John chapter 4 this evening, John chapter 4, if you take your work in your Bibles, we'll turn to the Word of God in John chapter 4. It's good to see all of you that are back this evening. Glad that you're here. Be in prayer for all those on the north going through the snowstorms up there. The snow is moving across this afternoon, across the Midwest area, all the way over to Canada. That's pretty bad. They're kind of used to that kind of stuff, but it looked bad to me. I was glad I wasn't up there, so I'll be in prayer for them, and especially Sister Lisa and her sons as they travel, that it'll be gone. They'll have an enjoyable trip. Can imagine going that far and then have to stay inside the whole time. Pray that that'll pass on. We started a series last Sunday evening on why outreach. Why outreach? And we looked at the first reason was because religion will fail you. And it failed Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a very religious man, but he had a void, an emptiness that was not met by that religious activity. I'm sure he gave alms, many prayers, dressed the part, wore the Pharisaical outfit, and people knew from afar off that he was part of the Pharisees and the Sanhedrin Council. But at the end of the day, religion failed. He knew that. He comes sneaking in by night to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that at the end of his time, recorded time in the Bible, there in the latter parts of the story, we saw that he brought frankincense, getting into the play now, the herbs and spices that he might anoint the body of the Lord Jesus Christ there. And what a blessing that religion gave way to faith. And so, why outreach? Because there's a lot of religious people left in the world today. Now, they may never, ever attend church, but you ask them, that, oh, I'm a Christian, why? Well, I grew up all my life believing in Jesus. All my life I believed in Jesus. Well, my family, man, we was raised in such and such church, and they're counting on that. They're really counting on it. Religion has failed. And so tonight we're going to talk about topic number two, the same thing, why outreach. And this is why I believe we need to have outreach. Because there's a lot of people walking around with guilt that will not go away. Will not. And they think they're too bad. They think they have lived such a way that there is no way that God would ever forgive them. So, number one was religion will fail you. Number two, when guilt won't go away. John chapter 4. The Bible has a very well-known story in the Word of God here. A passage of Scripture where the Lord Jesus Christ met this woman of Samaria. Verse number one. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judah and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, ask me of drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, thou and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Verse 13, Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband, and come hither. Verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And in that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 20. Our fathers worshipped in the mountains, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that the Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples, and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot, and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come, see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Now for some, the guilt of past sins, dear friend, weights down and condemns continually. I mean continually weights down and condemns, and it also causes a continuation of sin in that. And they ask him this question, and many of you may have asked this question, is their forgiveness from all past and hope for the future? I mean, you look back to your life and say, man, I've done this, I've done that, and that, and this, and I've been involved in everything under the sun. Guilt will rob you of joy and walk with God. So why do we have outreach? Why outreach? Because religion has failed. Religion has failed. And number two, the second reason we have outreach here at Lock Haven Baptist Church is because there's a whole lot of folks in our community, just like we were. Such were some of you. Whole bunch of folks out there that looking at their life and the things they've been involved in and wondering about all of life's failures, such as this lady here, who she was. She was a Samaritan. Hey, the Jews thought they were as dogs. They didn't want nothing at all to do with them. They didn't care about having any dealings with them. And number two, she was a woman. Rabbis just didn't come by talking with women. They just didn't make it a habit of going around and talking with women. So she's thinking in all that she had done, everything. She's lined out her sin and there and what was going on in her life. And It got so embarrassing and so weighty upon her that in the middle of the day, to avoid anybody, to avoid any other women, to avoid any other men, to avoid the townspeople, in the middle of the hottest part of the day, she come out to draw water because of the guilt, because of the memory, because of the glares and the stares of everybody thinking at her. So she come out in the middle of the day because of the sin that she had been involved in. Because of her shame that was laid upon her, you know, because of who she was and what she had done, she was thinking, would God ever, ever have anything to do with me? Guilt was on this lady. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you've never been there. Maybe you've been a life of simple morality. You lived a pretty good life, but like I told you this morning, you can be moral, good, upstanding citizen. You still need the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of folks, dear friend, they live in shame. Live in guilt. Worried about what this one's thinking, what that one's thinking there. And we see the Lord Jesus Christ. He said there, I must need go to Samaria. Why outreach? Because our Lord Jesus Christ was about outreach. He knew that this woman was going to be there. Now, the difference between the Lord and us, we don't know who we're going to cross our paths with during the day. But the Holy Spirit of God, which lives inside of us, knows who we're going to cross. Whose path we're going to cross angles with, we're going to meet with. And so we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit of God and listen, have an ear to the Spirit of God and follow what the Holy Spirit of God does and leads and how it directs us. Because just like the Lord Jesus Christ must need go to Samaria, there may be a time where the Holy Spirit of God says, hey, you need to stop at this store. You need to stop and get your eggs and milk from this Publix. Lord, that I'm going to get it at that one. Be sensitive. Be sensitive because somebody there might be who God would have you to cross paths with during that day. So here's the Lord. He's going. The disciples went to buy him some food, some meat. The Lord said, I've got to go to Samaria. I've got to get to this place. And he got there. And isn't it amazing? The Bible says there in verse 6, and being wearied in his journey, our Lord got tired. So listen, it's okay when you get tired. It's okay when you get weary. It's all right when you get weary. It's part of the human anatomy. But greater is he that's in me than he that's in this world. Hey, we might get physically tired, but we need never to get spiritually tired. But there's folks get that away. And guess what happens when you get spiritually tired? You get embarrassed. You get guilty. You get conviction, overriding conviction. You get to the point just like this woman. You do everything you can to avoid people. Everything in the world to stay away from Christians. That's not good. Need to check up on it. Need to make sure, hey, being physically tired is something, but being spiritually tired, there's no need for it. No need at all, because we are more than conquerors and our faith is our victory. So when you get spiritually tired, you need to get alone and encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to get around somebody else that's not so negative. Negative folks will make you drain. I mean, they'll drain you of everything that's within you. So here she is. There, guilt, glares, and the Lord meets her. Seeking Savior. I got to go to Jerusalem. And he gets out there for a purpose. And that purpose was to meet this lady. And he began to talk with her. Listen, Jesus knew who she was. He knew already that she had done had five. But he prompted a question that he knew the answer to. Where's your husband? What was she ashamed of? This very thing. What was she embarrassed about? What was the guilt about? You see where the Lord gets right to the point? He doesn't beat around the bush with the lady. Here she comes, give her some drink. Hey, where's your husband? And now she's got to face it. The very guilt, the very shame, and the very thoughts that overwhelmed her and caused her to go out in the middle of the day to not be around people, to try to avoid people. And the Lord said to her, you said right. He didn't beat her over the head. He didn't run her down, didn't kick her down. You know what he said? Hey, you said right. Listen, you had five husbands. Now you're so fed up with that, you're just living with one. But let me tell you something. He was there to meet a need. A need that obviously, ladies, listen to me. Obviously, a need that a man could not meet. The story gives evidence. She had a need. She had a need. She tried to get that need met, and now she was living in nothing but guilt. Jesus loved her anyway, didn't he? He didn't avoid her. Whenever he asked that question, he knew exactly who she was, what she had done, where she'd been, all the things that had went through her life, the guilt, the shame, and all the frustration that she was facing. And he went to her and he met a need anyway. Sometimes we get around folks like that and we say, man, there's no way in the world I can help you. You said right, we can. But we know the man that can. The Lord Jesus Christ. And sometimes we just need to step aside and be used of God. Let Him do the fixing. Let Him do the reeling in and the curing and the comfort and the solution solving. Let Him do it. Because He sure had a solution, didn't He? He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for something to drink. Isn't it amazing that she asked a very logical question, just like Nicodemus? When Jesus said, you must be born again, what he said? What did Jesus say last week? You must be born again. He said, how can I die? I'm old. It's a logical question. Here she said to the Lord, something very logical. How are you fixing to draw some water? You don't even have a water pot. Very logical question. So when these questions are asked, I think it's quite all right that we go ahead and ask the Lord some questions. Life is, what in the world are you questioning God for? Right. He's spiritual. Sometimes He asks me to do some spiritual things that I don't quite understand. And I say, well, I need to know, Lord, we got to talk. Lord, I got to ask you some questions. Lord, how am I going to do this when I don't have that to do it with? The Lord already knew. He has the answer. He's not going to strike you down when you begin to ask Him some questions and talk to Him about this. These were logical things to ask. But how to be born again? I'm an old man. How am I going to do? Go back in the mother's womb, come out again? What do you want? Then, hey, listen, that don't make sense, does it? Hey, if I give you a drink, you'll never thirst again. She got to say, hey, give me that. Why? I don't want to come back out here in the middle of the heat of the day. I don't want to thirst no more. And the Lord said, hey, you missed it. It's not a physical drink I'm fixing to give you. I'm fixing to give you a spiritual drink. She had a great dilemma, didn't she? She lived in the city. Couldn't rightly go anywhere else because the Jews didn't want to have anything to do with her. Couldn't look but like she could call a U-Haul. Move on over to, you know, another town. She had to stay right there. She had to... Can you imagine? Maybe her first husband was the shoemaker. What'd she do for shoes? Maybe her second husband, you know, maybe he was the dairy man, the man who brought the cow, the milk, and the cheese around. Maybe the third husband, who knows? Maybe he was the man who had orange groves and oranges and grapes and things of that nature. We never, you know, you can go on and on thinking about this stuff. And Jesus answered, said, he was the water of life. And let me tell you something, there are people living out there in all kind of guilt. And we need to be careful how we look at them. How we point at them. How we back up away from them and we recoil away from them. How in the world can we ever make a difference in this world if we're not willing to get around folks like that? Hey, listen to me, church. Would to God everybody we met was like our deacons. Would to God that everybody I come in contact was like Brother David, Brother Lee, Brother Bernie. Would to God like he was like every one of our choir members. I would to God everybody was like that. But the thing about it is, hey, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there's a bunch of folks out there that never met Christ in the free pardon of sin. There's a whole bunch of folks out there who don't have the Holy Spirit of God to help them to be diligent, to grow spiritually in the Lord, that one day can be chosen as deacons. There's a whole bunch of folks out there in this world, dear friend, who have not been offered the opportunity to grow by the grace of God because they've never had the free pardon of sin and to be able to have a choir to sing hymns and spiritual songs in. So we live in a world that's full of sinners. So we get out there and not become part of this world, but live in this world as a light for them to have direction, a true compass, because religion has failed them and they're living in guilt. You know what's amazing? When the Lord Jesus Christ met this woman, in guilt and shame, kind of like a recluse. I'm all just withdrawn by herself. But when he met her and she realized this was the Messiah, living water, her future was changed. Her past was wiped away. Her present was looking pretty good. And the Lord said, I got something I need you to do. What's that? You've got to go out and you've got to tell people what I've done for you. A life in Christ gave her boldness. You know what the Bible says there? Verse 28, when the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men. She went right back in there. You know one of the men? Five of them was her husband. Five of them had lived, been part of her life. What boldness. Her shame was gone. She boldly ran back into the city, called all the men together. So let me tell you something. The Messiah has come. What boldness. What purpose. She wanted everybody to know about Christ. Everybody to know about Christ. She started with the men. What influence do we see? Just a minute. Remember the beginning of the story. She was coming out in the sixth hour. And in the sixth hour, in the hot of the day, when all the other ladies was in, all the other men were in, out of the sun, she was out there. But now, because she has met the Savior, and it's not about her, it's not about her shame, her guilt, it's all about being part of the family of God. Guess what happened now? When she came back in, all the city came with her. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ does. Verse 29, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. I tell you, life in Christ gives you new boldness. It allows you to be able to lay your head down at night and say, yes, I was a wicked, hell-bound sinner because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But He saved me. But He saved me. Then it gives you a purpose in life. You're concerned where somebody else may spend eternity. Name me one person. One person that you know that's lost. They don't know Christ. They've never been saved. But in their unlost state, they're interested in getting people to go to heaven. Do you know anybody like that? But when a person gets saved and the Holy Spirit of God moves in, they see hell in a different light. And they should be very interested in people going to heaven. New purpose. A new influence. What's the influence? Such as I was, now who I am. A change. A change. And old things are passed away. All things become new. Why? Because I am in Christ. A new creation. You know that influence comes? When Christ works a change in our lives. Whenever I tell somebody I'm born again, bought by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, this world expects to see a change. Lost people expect to see a change. They do. Let me tell you something, dear friend. Why outreach? Because Jesus will remove that guilt and set people free. Set them free. Hey, Jesus will give them a clean start. I don't know about you, but I am thankful that whenever I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father, and I'm in that throne room, I don't have to give an account for those sins that He's already forgiven me for. When the old accuser's standing there and he's trying to bring things up and remind me of my past, this is what the Lord says. What sins are you talking about? There's hope. Why? Listen, because of Jesus. Why outreach? Religion has failed. Our nation is it's going backwards. Not in a good way either. I wish it was backwards in a good way. I wish it was getting back to the point where God was important and the things of God was cherished and precious and the Word of God was something that was propagated and put out there and our statesmen up in Washington and Tallahassee would say, Providence says, and thus saith the Lord, and the law of God and the hand of God, and let us all gather in prayer. But it's not going back good that way, dear friend. It's going back where every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Religion has failed. And there's people full of guilt because of the failure of religion. You know what happens? People come looking for God, looking for help, looking for change. They come to a man of God that calls himself a man of God or a house of worship, place of worship. They come in and they come looking. The Word of God is not presented. The Holy Spirit of God is not evident. Jesus is on the outside knocking. I want to come in, and if you'll open the door, I'll come in with you. But we've secularly pushed the Lord God out, and we've replaced Him with entertainment. So they come in looking, and they leave empty. Religion has failed. Religion has failed. And when they leave empty, the guilt piles on. The guilt piles on. You know what the devil does? Hey, you tried it, didn't you? Didn't work, did it? You know why? You're sorry, no good for nothing, sinner. Nothing can help you. Nothing. Nothing can help you. Why do we have outreach? Because we understand it's not about religion. And we understand that He can wash away all sin. Past, present, and future. That's why we have outreach. We stand to our feet, church.